Previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
And now the next thing on the form, I'm really interested. I don't know if I'm saying this the right way. Is the number a year? Is that what you're saying? It just says baseball 21-31.
No, and maybe because I know you are Red Sox fans.
Yes.
From previous episodes, I understood that. But people may not know this, but that is Cal Ripken's...
Yeah.
The Cal Ripken number. Because you're not Orioles fans.
No. But I'm a dope. I should know that. Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast.
On the WTFC Podcast Network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey Littles. Roxy.
Chuck.
How excited are you?
Very excited.
Very? You should
like
be freaking...
extremely ecstatic.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, whatever that word is.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I mean, we are... Talk about pep in our step.
Oh, my goodness.
It's finally happening.
It is, Littles.
It's finally happening. We're so excited.
The
we're
time not even
gonna
has
go.
Come.
We're not going to go any further because... Well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Because we don't want them to just like fast forward through
yeah,
this bit.
Right.
We've got a lot of important information coming up in the next like 5 minutes. We're going to keep it short, though.
Uh-huh.
Because we're going to get right to our Meet the Littles guest.
Yep.
Speechless.
Yeah.
Speechless. It's happening, Roxy.
Yes.
And well, let's just get through. We always
Business.
Open with something. Business first. Pleasure then. Okay. Emails for the open. Thank you again for the experience. The finished product with all the ums and uhs and awkward silences removed was a tribute to your editing skills. Well,
Aww.
Not our editing. That's all Lewis.
Yeah.
But we're going to get to that in a second. Thank you also for the nice thank you note and sticker, which arrived by regular mail today. Is that a dig that we didn't send it express?
Uh-oh.
Is that what he's trying? No, I'm just kidding. That will join my Keith Richards guitar pick in a hallowed spot at my desk. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
If I ever can be of service to you guys from far away Idaho, just let me know. Wynn Mossman, episode 311. How sweet is that?
So great.
Now, he's a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
Careful what you wish for there, Wynn. We might be calling someday. So, like we said, Roxy, we're going to jump right to the Meet the Littles guest, but we're going to do our quick bowling segment first.
Yes.
And softball segment.
Yes.
Okay. But it was a big week for bowling. And I felt bad because Ritz sent us this nice voice memo, which means I'm not going to play it now because it would mean nothing. He did this. Let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah,
because
right.
we played Ritz's team in the last playoff week of the Broadway Bowling League for the spring.
Right.
So that was a lot of fun. We always
it
have
really
fun.
It really was.
His lovely wife was there, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just have a bunch of other friends on that team.
Yep.
And it's always
friendly.
A fun time.
It's always a friendly match.
Yeah. But I went head to head with Ritz.
You did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Game one, Chuck rolls a Jason Massart. And then in game two, well, let me go game one by game one. Okay. Ritz, game one, Chip Hughes. Now, if you know your Loyal Littles podcast episodes on paper, because Ritz was all upset because he's like, you beat me. I said, no, not really. I did. All right. As you know, Littles, we've talked about this. It's a handicap league.
Right.
So with the handicaps factored in, I did win game one and I got the point.
Uh-huh.
But I said, Ritz, no, hold your chin up.
Yeah.
On paper, you beat me because he rolled a Chip Hughes.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was a very close game, though, obviously. But that's where the handicaps factored in because Ritz is a better bowler than me.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
He's
I said it.
A great bowler. Yeah.
So, and Roxy had a Jared Fried.
Yeah.
She was happy with that.
Too bad I wasn't wearing a double
the
polo.
The overall team wasn't as happy, but, you know, I mean, it's over 100, so that's good.
Yes,
that's good. But you've done much better, but you were consistent.
I was more consistent, so my mental health was very good.
And that's what's important. You know, we were all talking about that. Bowling is such a mental game.
Ugh.
It really is.
Yeah, it's like golf, really.
Yeah, it is. Because one game you could go, even with golf, hold a hole. You
can
be like, how can I get a birdie on this hole and then triple bogey the next? It's like,
how can I get a strike and then get a gutter?
Well, yeah, I was
going to
say bowling's even worse because everything is the same.
Right.
There's no like weather involved. There's no the different hole. There's more sand traps, water.
Right.
You know, with golf, it from hole to hole.
Sure.
It's totally different. But no, seriously, you could play the same hole twice.
Yeah.
And just go to putt it out, walk back to the thing, and then you can do a triple bogey.
Right.
Anyway, game two, Chuck had a Matt Stanton. And Ritz killed it. He had a Colin Horner and crushed me. So he won game two, even with the handicap.
Mm-hmm.
And then he won by enough of a margin where he won total points.
Yeah, so he got two out of the three.
He got two out of the three. I got one out of the three. Mm-hmm. Roxy, game two, Todd Takei.
Yeah.
She was just happy. I think Roxy's now just trying to get, you know, some fun episode numbers. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's her main goal in bowling right now. But no, everyone had fun and it was a good time.
Yeah. And then we just have the awards week.
Yeah, we have the awards week. We won't know where we fared. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing top 10. Maybe around, I don't know.
6 or 7.
I mean, we did overall win last night, but we didn't crush them.
Right.
I mean, it was good. I think it was like 13-8.
Sure.
So we lost a couple free points. Thanks,
we'll see.
Katie. she doesn't listen to this anyway, so. It's all good. She got one of the three.
Yeah.
And so it's a good time.
Yeah.
All right. And we'll of course update you on our final bowling segment of the season.
Yes.
For now until the fall.
Yes.
So, okay, let's go on. Everyone wants to know about Broadway Show League softball, of course.
I missed it. I'm bummed. But I was doing some other fun things. So. Yeah.
Well, why don't you go into that real quick?
Yeah. I got to go over to Madison Square Garden yesterday. Yeah.
That's where you were?
Well, not in the arena, but in the
I thought you were
in
Radio City.
No.
Well, so then you could have continued because that would have made sense. I'm the dope, not you. Okay, full disclosure, we just re-recorded something.
Yeah.
Because she said I went to MSG.
Yeah.
And I thought you
messed
flushed
it up.
The mouse and thought you were I'm like, you were at Radio City. You were doing a Rockettes thing. And then you're like, no. And then you just I'm like, okay, let's redo it. And she goes, okay, so I was at Madison Square Garden. I'm like, no, you
yeah.
All right, so where the hell were you,
okay,
Roxy?
Okay, so we were
I'll just shut up.
We were at the Garden in a conference room, actually. So near the theater and stuff like that. Not in the arena or anything like
right,
that.
Right, okay.
But it was,
we weren't on the ice.
No. It was Take Your Child to Work Day. Uh-huh. And so they had a couple Rockettes, some of us, go over and teach a bunch of classes. You know, 45-minute classes, you know, teaching some choreography and answering questions and taking pictures and stuff with the kids. And it was really, really fun. We had four groups of kids, varying ages, mostly younger, I would say, like first grade and below, second grade and below. So really, really cute kids that we got to teach. They were super excited. So yeah, I was there all day teaching.
So you couldn't be
at the softball
fields.
So I couldn't be at the softball fields for opening day. Right.
Yeah, which was a lot of fun.
But I heard some really good things happened.
Oh yeah. Things happen. Let's hold that?
Sure.
Okay, so first of all, we get there. We're in the first game. I'm playing with Moulin Rouge this year.
Yeah.
Roxy's getting a jersey, actually. She's going to be on the roster
so
as a sub.
So excited.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. But as you all know, Sid is on our team.
Yes.
I got Sid on the team with a couple of our other friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sid's not really in the business. So she's what we
she's
call...
She's like a non-affiliate.
And most people would call them a ringer. Now, Sid would never consider herself a ringer. You know, she doesn't think she's that good.
No, I'm not a ringer.
Guys, come on. And so anyway.
Chuck, you're the best pitcher out there.
Yeah, she's like, you're the best pitcher. Yeah, whatever. Sid rocked it out of the park.
Oh my gosh. I wish I was there to see
it. Yeah, she was a rock star yesterday. So first of all, I'm getting to know, I know our captain from a couple years ago. And she asked me for advice, of course. And she's like, well, let's do the lineup. I'm like, no, you do. And she's like, no, I don't know. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting it together. We didn't have anyone in the two hole.
Yeah.
And she's like, why don't we just throw Sid there? And I was like, okay. Now, mind you, there's a lot of pressure on Chuck here because I brought Sid to the team.
Right.
Now,
so she better be good.
I brought Sid to the team because we adore her. She loves to play.
Yeah.
She's a great teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Not because she hits home runs every time she comes up the bat.
No, she's a good player.
But my point is, hitting in the two slot, that's kind of an important
spot.
You know, leadoff batter gets on, you got to get them over type of thing, blah, blah, blah. You know, all that stuff.
Right.
So I was like, sure. But I'm like, it's the first game of the season. Who cares what happens? You know, kind of thing. Okay. Long story short, Littles, she had the game of her life.
She played second, right?
She played second base. Well, that was part of it, too, was when she asked me, what do you think where I'm? I said, probably outfield. I don't know. So she goes to the outfield to warm up, catch pop-ups, things like that. And then at the last second before we take the field, I'm like, oh, by the way, you're playing second base. She's like, what? And I was like, yeah, I know. She did it, though. She didn't care.
Yeah, right.
And so she runs out. She makes these great plays at second base. She almost turned a double play twice.
Wow.
Okay. Actually, one time, and I don't know his name, so I'm going to call him a dope. So there's a man on first. Ground ball to Sid at second base. She turns to throw to second. Shortstop doesn't cover the bag.
Like,
what a dope. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm on the pitching mound. I'm
she
like, next time
him.
I'll run over.
Right.
She totally would have had a double play
there.
I mean, easy. She fielded it cleanly. She was ready to throw. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, she has to make the throw, and then that dope has to make the throw to first.
Have, right.
I'm just kidding. Whoever the dope is, I love you. It's first game. I don't know his name. This is a new team for me.
Yeah.
But I was like, bro, you got to be there. And she was even like, and so, and then, but she didn't panic. She quickly then turned to first and got the out at first.
Okay,
so
good.
We at least got one out on the play. But
sure.
She was ready.
Yeah.
She was ready first, the more importantly, to get the lead runner.
Yeah.
If you're only going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, they probably could have turned two.
Yeah. No, she knows the game
yeah,
very well.
Yeah, she really does. Mm-hmm. And then let's talk about her at bats. 4 for 4 on the day.
Yeah.
4 for freaking 4 on the, she did better than me. I was 3 for 4.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my fourth hit was great. It was a line shot to the outfield, but the guy dove and made a great catch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 4 for 4. So she's like knocking people from first to third. So the first guy got on.
Yeah.
But the best moment of the game, this happened last year when we played for Parade.
It did.
We put her right in front of Derek Klena.
Yeah,
now,
Littles,
Google Derek Klena if you want. Okay.
Yeah.
He's the star of Moulin Rouge right now. He's the lead.
Yeah.
But he also played Division I college baseball, I think at Stanford.
Yeah.
Is that the one in California?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he's a player.
Yeah.
He knows. It's funny. At one point, he hit a 3-run homer in the game. And I was like, yes, ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't just sing.
Right.
I was like,
well, he's also one of those people for Broadway Show League standards. If he was the only one in the outfield, he would probably catch everything because he's so fast
and he's so smart. He was playing left and he practically ran to center field to catch a fly.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's great.
Great rock
and
star.
More importantly, such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Such
a
nice guy. Mm-hmm. So that's always nice to hear. So come to New York, go see Moulin Rouge, see Derek Klena. But yeah, he's a gamer. When he hit the home run, Sid was on first because she's right before him and she was obviously 4 for 4. So she's on first base. Now it's a pop up. There's one out.
Uh-huh.
So she very smartly goes halfway and stops.
Yeah.
Because you got to see, he might catch it. And then
you
got to go back. Well, or you're going to go back if you think they're going to catch it and tag up, or you're going to go back because they might catch you. Yeah, right.
Okay.
So very wise. She did the right thing,
mm-hmm.
except that this was a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't read it right off the bat, I guess, but I knew it was way over the guy's head. Before she could even turn around to go back to first, Derek's like right on her ass.
Yeah.
And like, so she's like booking it around so he can get his home run because there's no walls.
Yeah.
There's no walls. You have to beat out basically an inside the park.
Right.
And so basically by the time she got to the shortstop, he's like right on her. And of course he's slowing down because he knows he's smart enough. He knows he can't pass her on the base path.
Yeah, right.
But the look on her.
She's like, don't run me over.
She's like, don't run me over. So anyway, long story short, I know too late. We have this thing. It's kind of silly, but it's kind of cool.
It's cool.
The managers of the game, and I had nothing to do with this. This was a surprise to me too.
Mm-hmm.
When they turn in the game scores, we ended up winning. We won 17-10. So we did give up some runs.
Yeah.
That's the bad part. But
it was
our first game. First game. A lot of these people from Moulin Rouge had never played before. And so they're just getting to know everything.
Yeah,
it's fine. I mean, it could come back to haunt us later because tiebreakers are runs against. But that's okay. It was a good day. We had fun. That's the most important thing. And they have a little thing where they can turn in their vote for who they felt the MVP of the game was.
Mm-hmm.
And she named Sid MVP of the game.
Yeah.
So yay, in-studio applause for Sid. And she really was. She was the MVP of the game.
She's rock star.
4 for 4, mm-hmm. made some really great plays in the field. So we're very happy about that. Oh, what's that? Oh, that's my chat. Hold on 1 second. What? Roxy.
Chuck, what?
Hold on 1 second. Sorry, Littles. I'm sorry. All right. So you've got to be kidding me. Okay. All right. So here's the thing. So Littles, if you haven't concluded this by now, we were kind of hyped in the beginning. We are still hyped, but now I'm freaking out because, okay, we had Greg Garcia ready to go.
We had him. Wait, we don't have him?
Well, hold on a second. I've got to read this text. But no, there were stipulations about him coming on, as we said in the last episode. And totally understandable. One of the things was he was just like, I don't want to be edited.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big Tony Kornheiser thing, which I totally get. And we all know that I do that on this podcast. So I promised them, I said, nope, we'll just do it. So this is almost like a live episode for you and I, which we've never really done.
Okay?
So Lewis promised him that we would just go. We'll hit record. Whatever comes out, we'll do it. So he was like, okay, fine, we'll do it.
Right.
And he can't do it now. So we're going to have to push it off. You've got to be kidding me. I'm so sorry.
What are we going to
do? I don't know. We didn't have anything planned. You know, because around this, I have other littles in the can, but I don't have time to edit them now.
Right.
And we want to get this out for the Saturday episode. All right. Well, let me make a call. Let's get out of here. We'll take a quick break. Let's see if we can get someone to fill in.
Okay.
We'll be right back with.
I don't know.
We don't know. Sorry, littles.
Hi, this is the great Zucchini from Bethesda, Maryland. And you're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
This is a long intro, Little, so we're going to do this way. We are being played in by good friend of the podcast, the one and only Norwegian Soft Kitten, and this song is called Expensive Hobby. Now, of course, this includes band member Loyal Little, episode 295, Glenn Burgetts. And they say the best way to find all their stuff is just to head on over to Bandcamp or SoundCloud. Just search Norwegian Soft Kitten. You can give them a follow over on Twitter at @NS_kitten, over on Instagram at Norwegian Soft Kitten, or just Facebook, search Norwegian Soft Kitten. And remember, the most important thing is, though, we will play the full song, Expensive Hobby, at the end of the podcast.
Humma, 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 to no forgiveness for the rest of your life. Because you'll need it. So a pocket for catchphrase on the breast of your coat. So you will have it. Take a couple of name tags. So you have his and he has yours. Now I don't know you. Along the highway of weaker minds. No place for a person of your caliber to purchase a duel.
All right, all you loyal littles, it's now time to
meet the littles.
And Roxy.
Chuck.
We got someone. Last second.
Ooh.
Couldn't believe
close.
It. We're a little bummed out that Greg Garcia just bailed on us like that at the last minute. But who else? I mean, can you think of anyone else better to fill in at the last minute? Please welcome to the podcast, fill in Frank Isola. Hey, Frank, how's it going?
That's going to be my stage name.
Yeah.
Fill in Frank on a Friday. That's usually when it is, too. It's usually a Friday.
Oh, nice.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends.
It kind of works. How you guys doing? I guess... I think we played phone tag for like a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, well, it was emails first. Okay,
yeah,
let's shout out Bonnie Burko, episode 150, right away. She hooked us up, obviously. And yeah, we were playing email tag first, and then it was phone tag. So yeah, this has been going on for a while, so we're so fortunate to finally get you here on the podcast. Now, Frank, what we like to do is the listeners love this because we see you on PTI. Well, we see you everywhere.
Yeah.
We see you around the horn, all these different places. But so a lot of times they don't really know you, the background, where you grew up, where you went to school, stuff like that. So we'd really love to start there. Can you do that for us?
What are you trying to make people turn off, stop listening to the podcast? hear my background?
Trust me, this is a big hit with our listeners.
Yes.
Well, I was born in Brooklyn. Start there.
Yeah.
Grew up out on Long Island like Tony Kornheiser did. And then I ended up at the University of Maryland. That's where I went to school. Hmm. And then my first job was at the New York Post. And I was just a clerk, and then I did high schools. Then I eventually covered the Mets. I covered the Mets a year. They lost 102 games.
Ooh.
Then I did the Nets for 1 year, and then suddenly, before I knew it, I was thrown on the Knick beat. And I think I was on the Knick beat for 18 years, man. Wow. It was like a long time. Got to see some cool stuff. When I first got to the Knick beat, you know, Patrick Ewing was on the team. The team was a contender every year, and then you went through that really down period. Almost coinciding with the time that Jim Dolan took over, where there was a lot of losing, a lot of dysfunction. And now, now the Knicks are finally, they seem to be back on the right track. But that was basically it. I did a lot of, I mean, working in newspaper, which I enjoyed. You know, got to go to the Olympics. I was at all those finals games with Michael Jordan.
Wow.
Those last two titles that they won, which was really cool. I would put that up there. Usain Bolt winning the 100. I got a chance to cover that at the Olympics. I thought that was really neat. So I got to do a lot of good stuff. But you know how it is when you're working in New York, it's pretty intense. There's a lot of competition. So it's I had a pretty wild ride there at the New York Daily News.
Now, this is something I always like to go into. You said you went to Maryland. What was your major? Is this something you always knew you wanted to do and go into? Was there a high school newspaper you worked on or something like that?
No, it's amazing. I think at an early age, I knew I wanted to be involved in sports. And I also thought at an early age, well, I'm probably not going to become a professional athlete, so what can I do? And I, you know, growing up and reading the newspapers in New York, and especially the tabloid wars that they had between the Post and the Daily News, I delivered the Daily News as a kid.
Oh.
So, you know, getting to work there one day was really cool. But I had a feeling that this was something I wanted to do. Looking back at it now, I got to be honest with you, I love writing for a newspaper, and I miss it. But I almost wish I'd, like, done something in school where I did play-by-play. I think that would have been pretty cool. Plus, it probably does pay more than newspaper. So when I was at Maryland, the student newspaper there was the Diamondback. So 1 year, I walked on the Maryland soccer team. I wasn't any good, but I somehow made it. So I must have had a really good tryout. And then the next year, when I didn't make it, and then I covered
some of the, you know, I covered football games, I covered soccer games, and at the Diamondback, they paid you $10 a story.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty cool. You're getting like on the job training,
yeah,
which is important. You're kind of, you know, trying to figure out like how to do the job, which back then is not easy. Hopefully the stories that I wrote back then are all destroyed and nobody could reread them. But also it was cool to be doing something like that and getting paid. And I just, you know, that was something that I always wanted to do.
Sure.
That's so cool.
I did major in journalism at Maryland.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, that's always neat. We love that when people, you just know what you want to do and you do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. I always talk about, I was very fortunate in high school that I actually got to take a journalism class in high school. It was one of those extra English type classes.
Mm-hmm.
I did that in science fiction. And, you know, I always say if I redid everything, you know, I'm very fortunate in what I do and get to perform and all that stuff. But if I didn't, I definitely would have went into journalism.
Right.
It's funny you say that because I always look back at high school and all I did was probably goof around in high school.
Right.
But one of the classes that really sticks out for me is I took typing.
Oh,
and
right.
I think I might have taken typing as a 10th grader. Mm-hmm. And like kind of knowing that you knew that you were going to need that to be a sports writer. And, you know, I know how to type. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't do the, you know, the hunt and peck. Like some, you know, it's funny when you go around to a game and you'll see, you know, some of the writers do type like that where they're looking at the keys. I know how to type. So taking that class was important in high school.
Sure.
But you're saying like looking back and no regrets. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it would have been better to work for Goldman Sachs. I mean, these jobs are fun, but you got to wait a little while to make some money.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, that's very true.
No,
it's kind of the same in our business.
Yeah. You're in it for the long haul. And if you really enjoy it, then it's worth it.
Yeah.
So
now listen, can we go back real quick? Now you said you worked for the Nets first. Now that's, I'm assuming when they were in New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. So I was living in Brooklyn Heights at the time, which is a really cool place to live. If you've ever seen the movie Moonstruck, you know, when you're there,
of course,
at the end of the movie, walking down the street, she's kicking the can.
Yep.
That's in Brooklyn Heights. We lived on Columbia Heights, my wife and I did, which runs parallel to the promenade. So, you know, from the promenade in Brooklyn, you get the great view of the Brooklyn Bridge and Lower Manhattan and everything like that. So, yeah, when they were playing in New Jersey, I was covering the team there. So that meant going over the bridge, going through the Lincoln Tunnel, going to the Meadowlands. And then when I would come home from a game, I'd be getting home, let's say at like midnight, and the parking in Brooklyn was brutal.
Yeah.
Like I'm parking on the street. You know, so there were times I'm driving
for
like 30 and 40 minutes looking for a parking spot. And the whole time I'm thinking, you know, many people that live in this country have no idea how insane this is. And if I told them that this is what I'm doing, how insane they would think I am to be parking. And it was rough. So I had a New York press plate, which is, you know, there were designated zones for New York press. So, you know, you have the famous courthouse in Brooklyn. In downtown Brooklyn, that's where you know, John Gotti was tried. I guess that's the best example to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
And they did have NYP spots, but you know, if I parked there, then I'm walking, I don't know, like a half a mile at, you know, like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
It's too much of a pain. So I'd end up here was a great thing. I'd end up just biting the bullet and parking one of those spots where you had to be up at 7 to move it. Like just cleaning the street between 7 and 10.
Yeah.
And then of course, by the time you get up, and you better wake up on time, or else you're going to end up with a ticket.
Yep.
You know, you have to park on the other side of the street. If you like, most of the people get up at like 6:30, move their car, sit in their car until 7, and then that's it. So basically, I'd be waking up the next morning doing the same thing I had just done about 5 or 6 hours earlier, driving around Brooklyn looking for parking. But it's complete insanity. Which, listen, it leads to you being somewhat miserable, somewhat cynical, but it actually applies to your job. So it's actually good on-the-job training to be a sports writer.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I remember doing that. I was directing a show out in Jersey, and the same thing. It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because we'd rehearse at night, so by the time I'd get home from rehearsal at like 10:30, 11, all the spots are gone.
Right.
So, I mean, he's not wrong. I would walk 3/4 of a mile. And then, of course, I'm nervous to leave my truck that far away from my apartment, but you just got to do it.
No, but you're right. Anywhere else in the country in the world would think we're absolutely insane for putting up with that. But it's like you live here. I always say New Yorkers are scrappy and we do what we can and we do what we need to do to get the job done. So, I mean, it's really good for life.
Yes.
Well, a couple of things. So September of 22, this would have been. You know, I do a radio show on Sirius. So I was able to finagle, you get them to give me 2 tickets to see Pearl Jam at the Apollo Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd never been to the Apollo Theater and I wanted to go. So my wife and I go and I'm driving around Harlem looking to park on the street. Like, I'm not paying for parking. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
So we ended up parking probably on like 116th, which meant, you know, what's the Apollo on 125th? So we had, yeah, you know, walk, you know, 9 blocks, but it was a Saturday. And they had actually part of the street closed off, almost like a festival.
Oh.
But then it was funny, like afterwards, my wife's like, we should just take a taxi cab back to the car. I was like, I'm not doing that. Because it always makes me think of the great Seinfeld episode where George is driving around New York and he's looking for a parking spot, like the ideal parking spot. And then I think it's Elaine says, why don't you just pay for parking? And he's like, defined. He says, I will not pay for parking. To me, parking is like sex. Why should I pay for it when if I apply myself, I can get it for free? And like, those are the minor victories you have when,
yes,
you know, when you live in the New York area.
Yes.
It's like getting like a good part. Like, you're so proud of yourself. Like,
yes.
You're almost more proud of yourself than like if you wrote a good story or maybe you said something that you thought was funny on TV. It's like you feel like you're gaining points somehow that,
yeah,
I found like the I was patient enough and smart enough to find the ideal parking spot.
That's amazing. Now, I'm going to tread lightly with this because the listeners are going to know where I'm going right away. We have a thing on this podcast with myself where with the Giants and the Jets.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of annoys me that they don't at least call themselves New York, New Jersey. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they play in Jersey. Now,
right,
listeners have written in a bazillion emails saying, you know, you're thinking of it wrong. It's not New York State. It's New York City. That's where the New York, you know, all that stuff. My biggest bone of contention, though, is when the Nets moved from New Jersey to Brooklyn. Okay. They're now the Brooklyn Nets. Why aren't they the New Jersey Nets that play in Brooklyn? It would be the same kind of thing. Am I not wrong here, Frank? Come on, help me out.
You're 100% right. You know, I'll tell you what, the Nets actually do pretty good in terms of merchandise because they have the words Brooklyn and you know, their colors are black and white.
Yeah.
So it works. I think there's a lot of truth to that. And it does bother a lot of people. Well, if you think about it now too, the Jets practiced on Long Island for the longest time. They practiced at Hofstra. So not only was it a, you know, even when they played at the Meadowlands, in theory, it still was a New York / Long Island team because that's where they practiced.
Right.
But now they've completely moved the operation to New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
So there's nothing, you know, now they're in Forum Park. In fact, Aaron Rodgers lives about a mile from me, even though I've never seen him.
Oh, really?
Around. Yeah, I've never, like, that's like the big thing. Then one of the guys said, if you want to see Aaron Rodgers, got to go to the, you know, Montclair State's a school here. And there's a local bar that all the Montclair State students go to. And somebody said, you'll probably find him there. His next girlfriend will probably be like a college junior.
Yeah, right. Oh. Right.
Right.
But you're right about the Brooklyn Nets. And I think, I mean, here we all call them the New York Jets, New York Giants. I'll give you a little good New York Jets thing. Mm-hmm. So if you look in their history, I think they've played 8 home playoff games, or it might even be just 7.
Okay.
I've actually been to 3 of them.
Wow.
My father was a New York City cop, and he got us into a game at Chase Stadium. This is long ago. They played the Buffalo Bills. And then they had another game where they played Jacksonville. And I bought my brother, he's a big Jet fan, he bought 2 tickets for that game. That's when Parcells was the coach. That's the year they lost to Denver in the AFC Championship game. And then the other playoff game we went to was when they beat the Colts. I think it was 41-0. Peyton Manning was a really, you know you're at a Jet game. So it was really cold Saturday night. And the minute you pull into the parking lot, half the guys out there are drinking and have their shirts
on.
Yeah,
right.
Feel right at home. So I think it's like 7 or 8 home playoff games in their history. I mean, think about how many home playoff games Patrick Mahomes has played
already.
The last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been to 3 of them, so I consider myself kind of lucky.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, one thing also we like to do is go into your fandom. Now, we know you're a New Yorker, and, you know, now, I always wanted this because you're writing for different teams and stuff like that. Are you allowed to root for your favorite team? You know what I mean? In your writing and stuff like that. So what are your favorite? Are you all New York based?
Well, when I was growing up, it's weird, though. The one football team I liked was the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Because I really liked Chuck Foreman.
Sure.
The running back for the Minnesota Vikings. Plus, the Vikings, like, I always thought it was cool that, you know, they played outdoors in wintertime, that it'd be this miserable weather, and they always seemed like they had an advantage. And ever since they decided to play indoors, they've never made it back to the Super Bowl.
Oh, interesting. Mm.
I always find myself kind of rooting for the New York teams, but, you know, when I covered the Knicks with guys like Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley, Larry Johnson, I really liked those guys. I wanted to see them do well.
Right.
But I didn't really get caught up in, here's the deal. Like, you cover a team that goes far in the playoffs, it's really cool. It increases your profile in terms of a writer. There are more demands, like people looking to interview you for radio. in TV. And I think in the long run, that probably helped me in terms of landing a radio gig and doing the stuff on ESPN like PTI and Around the Horn. But, you know, the longer your team goes, then you start chopping up the days that you have off in the summer.
That's true. It
cramps your lifestyle a little bit. So I always say, like, the Knicks going far in the playoffs is great for the Knicks financially for them. Not really that great financially for me. I'm not making any extra money, but I'm working a lot because once the playoffs start, like back then, we rarely got days off. You're almost riding every day. And because it was the playoffs, your office just figured, you know what? You could take the whole month of August off, but you're going to have to work right now.
Yeah.
Wow. Sure. Well, this makes us even more appreciative because the NBA playoffs are just starting and you're here with us. So we really appreciate it. Listen, we've got a lot more to get into. We got to talk about PTI, obviously, Around the Horn, stuff like that. So don't go anywhere, listeners. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, today is 300 years since Galileo looked through a telescope. Tony, have you looked through a telescope?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Just last night I was peeking at Uranus.
Ha ha ha, real funny.
It's always funny. I told that one to Ty Cobb.
Oh, I bet he was laughing, Tony.
Yeah, while spiking me in the ankle. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, women get the right to vote.
It won't last, Tony. Prohibition everywhere.
That may last.
Yeah, except in Grover Cleveland Alexander's glove. And Ray Chapman goes down from a Carl May submarine spitball.
That's just sad, Tony.
But we begin today with the sad state of the Senators rolling toward a sixth-place finish in the American League under Clark Griffith.
Yeah, Tony, despite Walter Johnson's no-hitter last month.
That's the only bright spot. He stinks, Johnson. After 10 straight 20-win seasons, I can't watch the Senators. I get too upset.
Yeah, Clark Griffith needs to shut up. Tony, the new National Football League is underway. With Jim Thorpe as president, the Decatur Staleys are rolling under George Halas.
Yeah, but their quarterback, Pard Pierce, only 5'5". He's like a little boy out there.
Yeah, well, if Halas would coach him up!
Babe Ruth is in his first year with the Yankees after coming over in the trade from Boston.
Having a great year, Tony's gonna shatter his homer record from last year.
Yeah, he can't keep it up. They should sell him back to Boston while his stock is up.
Now, would Frazee even take him?
Mike, he was better as a pitcher.
Tony, Bill Tilden wins Wimbledon again. Is he your goat?
Never be another Tilden.
Tony, would you pay to see Jack Johnson fight again?
Not unless it's against Jim Jeffries, and that's not gonna happen.
That's the fight of the century, and we'll never see a better one.
Wilbon, will there ever be a professional basketball league?
Why, Tony? Whoever thinks they'll pay to watch basketball needs to shut up!
We're out of time. We'll try to do better the next time.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads.
I don't think Decatur will have trouble with the Columbus Panhandlers.
As long as Halas stays out of the way and learns to shut up.
26-inning game in Boston.
Yeah, you slept through the last 23.
Baseball needs lights.
Never gonna happen.
The defending champion White Sox, can they repeat?
If Shoeless Joe stays healthy, Tony.
100 years ago on PTI. 100 years ago on PTI. 100 years ago on PTI.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And Roxy's just brimming from ear to ear.
This is amazing.
Can I embarrass you a little bit?
Well,
Roxy kind of has a crush on you,
well,
Frank.
I always enjoyed what you had to say on Around the Horn and when you're on PTI. I just think you have a really nice way of talking. So it's really cool to actually be sitting here talking to you now. So, yeah.
I'm blushing now. I knew there was a reason I liked going to the Christmas Spectacular.
Yeah, right?
See? I knew it.
She was looking at you, winking every time and stuff like that. All right. right, let's move on. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
Just kidding. Go ahead. This is her moment. She was absolutely thrilled. I even embarrassed her when I went to see one of Pablo's events live.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And I said, yeah, Roxy would have showed up if Phil and Frank was
here. No, I actually would have. I think I had an early morning, but I would have made the effort that night if you weren't going to be there.
So I guess
I just think you have a star quality about you.
And oh, my God.
We're really both Italians, so
that helps, you know. And you know.
Yeah,
so
no,
anyway.
It's great. Yeah, it's great. Anyway. We're so grateful to
have
you.
The three of us will have to go out for a coffee.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Sounds great.
That would be amazing.
Sounds great.
All right, let's get into why we're basically here, and that's Tony Kornheiser.
Yes.
How did you first come across Tony, and when did your paths intertwine, stuff like that?
All right, so going to school at Maryland, you know, back then, you know, you're reading the Washington Post a lot. It was probably was required for like some of the classes. So back then, you know who Tony is, you know who Norman Chad is, you know who Michael Wilbon is, you know who Sally Jenkins.
Yeah.
All these people are John Feinstein. You know, they had some big time writers back then. I always thought that Tony was funny. I like his sense of humor, the sarcasm. And then when I found out that he's from New York, it makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, right. If you're Italian and from the New York, New Jersey area, or Irish from the New York, New Jersey area, or Jewish from the New York, New Jersey area, we all kind of have that same sense of humor.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, a little bit of a wise ass. You could be cynical, self-deprecating. That certainly came across in his writing. You know, and that's hard to pull off. Like, what he does, he is funny in his writing, but he's also funny on TV, which is not always the easiest thing to pull off. I used to tell him, like, he should be writing, like once a week for the New York Times or the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. Just write a column about anything.
Yep.
You know, just like his observations. Like, right. You know, I'm not trying to give the guy more work. I just thought it was really cool. You know, once a week, he could pound that out.
And, yeah,
like, you know,
sure.
By the time he thinks about it, writes it, edits it, you know, that's, we're talking like, you know, an hour to maybe 90 minutes, and it would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
I know he really enjoyed the writing part, and you know, he was terrific, and so was Michael Wilbon.
And he's so humble about it, because there was one time he was doing a roast, I think at the Kennedy Center or somewhere down there in the DC area, and he was talking all about on his podcast how he had to have writers. So he, you know, the good material, you know, to give him material for the, I'm like, why don't you just do your own? I guarantee you he would be a hit,
yeah.
You know, but you know, I guess he's just shy about his writing.
He's definitely smart enough to do that. And I think, you know, the one thing about PTI, if you look over the years and a lot of people that have filled in, you know, whether it's Bob Ryan or Jason Whitlock, Dan Levitard,
Simmons, you know, all those guys,
you know, it's like all have a background, or most have a background in newspaper.
Right.
And I think there is a connection when you've worked for newspaper, because I think people realize how difficult the job can be at times, especially when you're on a beat. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you have to deal with. And, you know, you're trying to, A, report stuff, and you're going to write things that are critical of the team when they're not doing well. And I just think that both Tony and Mike always had appreciation for other sports writers and how difficult at times the job can be.
Sure. Now, recently this happened, and when we were starting to get in communication, I was trying to already think of, oh my gosh, what am I going to ask him? One of the things I wanted to know, which was already answered, was honestly, I couldn't remember if you had ever been on PTI with Tony, because I'd say, what, 8 out of 10 times, it's mostly your Wilbon's partner, correct?
Yeah. And now it's 9 out of 10. I think what happened was, because if you remember Pablo, because of one of his shows, I don't think the timing worked right. Where he was kind of available to do it. I think they like switching up a little bit. I think, you know, I always say, like, when Mike and I are on together, I always feel like it's an 80s cop movie. It's the black cop and the white cop.
Yes.
You know, kind of doing it. So, and obviously, you know, Pablo and Tony are terrific. I filled in with Tony a couple of weeks ago. It was a last minute thing. Yeah, I hadn't spoken to him in a while. You know, he's still, you know, he's the same. Hey, the key, I think, with Tony is he wants you to be there on time.
Yep.
Which is kind of a good thing to do. There's nothing wrong with that. And he wants you to be wearing a jacket
suit
and tie.
Yep.
I could definitely do that.
Yep.
And then he wants you to be prepared, which I better be prepared. And I think he wants you to pay attention, because he doesn't like when he has a really good line, he wants you, you know, I don't think he's saying you better react to it, but it's almost as if he wants to make sure, you know, you're still listening.
Right.
But, you know, again, he's naturally funny. And I think, you know, some of the funnier stuff he does, which I'm sure this is true of for a lot of people, you know, when you're just kind of ranting or riffing at before the show, or, you know, back in the day when we used to go in the office and he would be there, it'd be funny just to listen to him talking to the producers of the show and him giving his opinion on things. He's, you know, he's, again, I kind of like the cynicism, the self-deprecation, and the kind of way of poking fun at stuff. It reminds me of being home, that's for sure, because both my parents were kind of that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, what year did you start Around the Horn?
I think I might have passed the 10-year anniversary. It's weird, too.
Oh, wow.
I was working at the Daily News, and I got asked if I would go up to Toronto to cover. They wanted me to write columns because it was going to be Alex Rodriguez's last road trip before his suspension was going to kick in. And the Daily News had gone after Alex Rodriguez pretty good. He didn't really like talking to anybody from the Daily News. So they figured, well, let's send this guinea pig Frank up there and see if it works. And A-Rod was it was really cool clubhouse because Ichiro was on the team. And I always liked him as a player. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool watching him like kind of stretch in the clubhouse. I mean, I could like sit there and watch that for about a half hour. It's amazing how the guy can kind of contort his body. But anyway, so I went up there and I like a couple of other media people were getting like higher profile jobs. And I remember thinking, I'm like, where am I going with this? I said, I've been doing this forever. Like, I wish I can get kind of like a TV gig. And I kid you not, I'm sitting, this is like all happening. And it's almost like I wished it into existence. All of a sudden I got a call. It's from Aaron Solomon. And he's the producer for Around the Horn. Yeah. And he introduces himself. And he says, I wonder if you'd be interested in doing some stuff on Around the Horn. And I said, well, you wouldn't want me. And he says, why do you say that? I said, because I'm from New York. You don't have any New Yorkers. It's a Boston, like, kind of slanted show.
Right.
That, you know, it's Denver, like pro Red Sox, pro Celtics. It's anti-Yankee. So you kind of got a kick out of that. And he was like, well, would you be interested? Yeah, yeah, I'll come down and I'll do a show. And I went down, and obviously they liked me enough to invite me back the second time. And I tell them all the time, all the people there, whether it's Eric Reinholm or Matt Kelleher or Tony Reale, Aaron Solomon, Josh Bart, I always thank them for help putting my kids through college.
Yeah.
they arrived in my life at a pretty good time.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'm going to do it. I shouldn't do this. I'm going to ask that. Are they equal? Do you have a preference? Which one do you like better?
I like when I'm doing the show with both of them in studio. It's just easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Oh,
no,
right.
I enjoy both. You know,
oh, I'm sorry. I meant actually Around the Horn or PTI. I would never have you choose between Wilbon and Tony. I'm not even that much of a dope.
I'll answer that. Well, it's different because you get more time on PTI.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's only two of you. That's
probably the bigger thing. I think we've kind of gotten back on Around the Horn. I think maybe it was the, you know, just the time that we were living in.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of like arguing
mm-hmm.
with each other. But you know, like, listen, I'm on the show and maybe it's my personality or maybe people just feel comfortable with me. But people come after me all the time.
Yeah.
I noticed like that. I'm like, hey, come on, people.
You know, they come after me. So when I was doing it, you know, with Jackie McMullen was great.
Yeah.
Jackie was always busting my chops.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I liked it. And I could go back to her a little bit. I do it with Mina Kimes. She and I have a good relationship. She kills me too. Emily Kaplan, who, you know, Emily Kaplan grew up in the same town that I live in. And her father, Dave Kaplan, was the Sunday sports editor when I was at the Daily News.
Oh,
okay.
So we have a little bit of connection there. So me,
except that it makes you feel ancient. But besides that,
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
But I always know when she's on that her parents are watching. So
right.
I purposely go after her just to try to get a rise out of both of her parents.
That's fun. That's fun.
Great.
Exactly. Who are great people. But I do think we've gotten back to kind of like the arguing and debating, because you know, that's the one thing about like the like sports debate. Like you can have different opinions. It doesn't mean that you have to take it personally, though.
Right.
Like I'm a, you know, I mean, all my opinions are right. So I think you're crazy to disagree with me. But if you do, I really don't. To me, I think when like they're kind of going after me or making fun of me or Tony, you know, Tony Reale always goes after me.
Yeah.
I think he feels comfortable doing it. I think it's good for the show, but in the long run, I think it's kind of good for me to be playing. Not that I am playing that role, like anything say in the show, I'm not doing it for a hot take. I honestly believe that. And I think that's true of a lot of newspaper people, just like Mike and Tony on PTI. Like that's not like some, all right, I'm going to purposely take this position just to get a rise out of people and hope that it's, that'll be trending. They don't do that. And I got a radio show. And it's the same thing with me. I do a radio show with Brian Scalabrine. I don't do that just to say, I'm going to try to go viral and I'm going to take this side. I don't do that. If I'm saying something, I believe it.
Right.
Now, I mentioned through all this, I have not heard the name Woody Page at all yet. Now, he's the old dog, right? He's the old, he's the most veteran on the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's amazing too. Now, you asked me about it. Every time someone brings up the show and they start talking about people on the show, his name always comes up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people get a kick out of it. Woody's funny because on the conference call, I feel like he's trying out his lines on all of us. And if you do the conference call with Woody, you better, you know, get a seat, grab something to drink because it's going to be a while.
It's a popcorn, right.
He goes along on the conference call. But I get a kick out of him. I think he does that a lot, too, where he thinks that, you know, I'm pro-New York and stuff like that. I really don't care if the New York team's going to lose anymore. It's not a big deal to me. But I think, you know, some of the other writers in some of the towns that they're in, him being from Denver, I think he's probably a little bit more protective of those teams. But he's a lot of fun to do the show.
Yeah. Well, and he came to New York for what? He was Cold Pizza, right? Wasn't that him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's when I first met him, because they would ask me to come on the show, like, the next morning. And, you know, I'm covering the Knicks at the time. So they would actually put you up in a hotel, which was right near where Cold Pizza is. And the hotel was like a roach motel. It was brutal. But they'd give you, you know, you'd show up the next day. They got the green room was all set up. You can get something to eat. And that's when Skip Bayless and Woody were doing the show together.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. The before First Take, Cold Pizza. You're right. 100% right.
Yeah. Now, the biggest question, though, in these production meetings, whatever, do you all have a say on what goes on the chalkboard?
Oh, no. That's all him.
That's all him?
Amazing.
Okay. He doesn't say, which one do you like better? Come on.
No.
Roxy actually bought that book for me.
I did.
He has a book out of all his chalkboard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I think Tony Reale wrote the forward.
Yes,
book.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are pretty clever. And
yeah.
That's funny, you know, every time he's on, he's going to have, he usually does two a show, right?
He does one
between the A block and the B block.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So, well, Frank, listen, we can't thank you enough for coming on to Meet the Littles like this and just all these stories. It's fantastic. We have some fun, dumb questions for you. We hope that's okay before we let you out of here.
All right. Let's hope I don't. Yeah.
Flush the mouse. Let's hope you don't flush.
Do I like the Rockettes? Yes.
Yes.
Do you like them more now than ever before? Definitely yes.
Excellent. All right. Well, what about this one? If you could be a cartoon character for a week, who would you want to be?
I loved Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Such a wise guy, and he was, I always liked Bugs Bunny. That's my man.
All right.
Nice. What do you think is the greatest invention of all time?
You want me to take an obvious one and say an airplane? What would be the greatest invention of all time? The worst would be the iPhone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. First, that's ruined society.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll go with whoever invented the brick oven, so we can make some good brick oven pizza, which we eat all the time.
Good pizza.
Right. You guys, what you got to do, Brooklyn Pizza in Teaneck, New Jersey, right across the street from Fairleigh Dickinson.
Okay.
Believe me when I tell you. And it's actually not that expensive.
Really?
That is unbelievable pizza.
Okay.
For you guys, it'll take you 2 minutes to get there.
All right.
Nice.
We're going to get that info before we let you go.
Yes.
All right. How about if you hosted Saturday Night Live, which maybe that'll happen someday, who would you like to introduce as your musical guest?
Pearl Jam, 100%.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
100%. Or if they can't make it, I'll have Rihanna come, because then this we'll hang out after.
Yes, that's a big part of it. You get to hang out with them
at the
after party.
After party. Yeah. So last week I interviewed Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
I went to the WNBA draft, and that was the first question I asked her. I said, oh, you know, we've had this unbelievable year. It's been a whirlwind season for you. What a week you've had. And really, the one thing that everybody wants to know from you is, did you attend the SNL after party?
Yep.
And sure enough, she did. She said she didn't stay out till 5 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
but she said she attended the party.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that would be, I'd go Pearl Jam first, Rihanna second.
Okay. Yeah, there was video of that out there of her going into the club and coming out of the club. Are you kidding me?
I mean, that's so cool.
What an exciting,
that's
we talked all about that actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, Roxy, what's next?
All right. If you could squirt one condiment out of your finger, which would it be?
that's a good one. I hate mayonnaise.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So it's not that.
Ketchup is I think ketchup ruined. You know what? I'm going to give you one which might be might be on brand for me. Would you consider olive oil a condiment?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Absolutely. Italian, absolutely.
100%. Yeah, he's a paisan. Hey, yeah. Mm-hmm, okay.
Absolutely. When I go get a salad, like, you know, chopped, you know, all these like different places.
Yeah.
Whenever they ask for the dressing, I always say just olive oil. They look at me like I'm crazy. And I can't stand all that kind of stuff. Mustard would be, I like mustard.
Okay.
But I would go with it. Because you can put olive oil on anything.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, and then you could possibly use it to cook things, too,
mm-hmm.
as a back, you know, so you got it right
and
there at your fingertips.
There. Exactly,
it's always there.
Literally.
That's actually good.
But out of all the condiments, mayonnaise is disgusting.
Okay, but I heard you say ketchup, and then you stopped. What were you going to say?
Well, ketchup, I just think it's not good for you. It's too much sugar.
Oh, well, that's true. I personally think it should be the sixth food condiment.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's my choice, the ketchup. So
mine is hot sauce for self-defense.
Yeah. Right. All right, one more. What's the one movie you love so much that you know you'll be best friends with another person just by them loving it as well?
That's a good one. That's a really good question. I like so many movies, like The Godfather.
Sure.
That's like everyone would be Italian who would like that.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll give you two sweet movies that I like. One is Shawshank Redemption.
That's
a nice story about people in prison who've killed people.
Yeah, right.
That would be one. And you know what I always find is a nice movie? You guys are going to think I'm so soft. It's the Ron Howard movie, Parenthood.
Oh, okay. No, that's a great
movie.
It's
excellent because I think it demonstrates how every family on some level is dysfunction. Everyone thinks that like their family is the only one that's crazy. Mm-hmm. And the end of that movie is really sweet.
And I also think if you have kids, sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
No, that's a great movie. All right, Roxy, rapid fire.
Okay. Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Neither, but I probably pick Star Trek because of the women on Star Trek.
Smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
Oh, I'll take the crunchy.
Excellent. How about Mr. Furley or Mr. Roper?
I like Mr. Roper.
Pancakes or waffles?
Oh, it's not even a discussion. Pancakes all day, every day.
Okay, and just for another listener, I have to do this. Do you put peanut butter on your pancakes?
Hell no.
All right.
No. I'll put coconut on it.
Coconut?
If I go to the pancake house, I'll get you get pecans on those pancakes? Oh, my God, so good. But peanut butter? Heck no.
All right. And for Tony, how about Uranus jokes? Not funny or never not funny?
I love them. They're hilarious.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because his timing on the joke
absolutely
is always funny.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it work.
It's all in the delivery. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. Well, Frank, can't thank you enough again. Take a second. Let's plug everything and let everyone know how we can follow you, how we can get in touch with you if you want to be gotten in touch with.
All right. So I do a radio show on Sirius every morning with Brian Scalabrine, 7 to 10, channel 86. That's the NBA channel. For the Yes Network, I do the Nets pre and post game. Obviously, their season is over. You don't have to worry about that. And you can see me regularly on ESPN, either Around the Horn or PTI. What's my Twitter handle? I think it's @TheFrankIsola.
All right. Well,
and
we'll
that might
look
be my same Instagram, something like that.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Well, we'll look those up, and we'll make sure we put those in the show notes for you. And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Yeah, it has to always be over.
Okay.
That's good. That's
you're,
good.
You're not normal if it's
the
over.
Other way. You know, it's funny.
Greg's on the floor.
Right.
It's like a for safety and stuff. No, you can't.
Right. No. It's funny when Pablo came on, he just wanted to plug bidets.
Yeah.
He was like,
neither bidets.
It's like, neither. Just get a bidet.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're all well, good. What about you? What about when you go into a hotel and you walk into the bathroom? They have like, they fold it in such a way that it looks like a flower or something.
Yeah.
It's like, are they telling you, like, don't
use
you
it.
You feel bad. You go down into the lobby and use the bathroom.
No, no. Honestly, I think that's their way of showing you that they clean the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
other thing for me is, see, I spent my first 25 years out of college in hotel rooms nonstop. I just traveled for 25 years doing Broadway shows. And that's why I just think it's over. I can't remember what it was growing up because that's what I remember. It's just it was always over in the hotels. Roxy's what we call adaptable because she grew up under.
But then I met Chuck here, and he was over, so I just figured, okay, when I'm with him, I'll put it over. When I'm home, I'll put it under. It's fine.
But, Frank, when the mother-in-law comes, you better believe I turn it under.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm no dope. You know.
You're a smart man. Now, all those years traveling with are you staying at Marriott's like a sports run and getting Marriott points? How does that work?
Yeah, well, it varies. Mm-hmm. Whatever the cheapest hotel pretty much in town was. Until later in life. You know, when we could start, you know, there's Airbnbs, we could start booking our own stuff.
Right.
And get the buyout, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best city to do an off-Broadway show?
That's tricky.
You know, it's funny, between union and non-union, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
I always said, people always ask me that. I always said Madison, Wisconsin, and State College, Pennsylvania, because they're college towns. So, you know, as a 24, 25-year-old,
things are open late.
Dollar beers at 3 a.m., you can get them. But then the bigger cities, it was always Denver and Seattle were two of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's always, of course, some that you're glad you're only staying there for a week, because otherwise, you know, like New Orleans, Vegas, those things. But as far as just like, I almost bought an apartment, actually, in Seattle and Denver both.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I would go with.
What would you consider, like, what was your favorite off-Broadway show that you did?
the tours. Wow.
I mean, White Christmas because you met
me.
Yeah,
of course. White Christmas because that's where we met. We met on tour with White Christmas. So we'll go with that.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. And we spent 4 weeks at the Kennedy Center. So
yeah, we were at the Kennedy Center for 4 weeks that year. And that's when we started hanging out. And that was kind of cool. So Woo.
I
almost flushed the mouse on that, Frank.
I should have become a Broadway actor. This way you meet all the the other actresses.
Yep.
Chuck's a dope, but he's not that much of a dope.
All right, well, what was your number one show on Broadway then?
There's so many.
Give me one.
I know. I'm trying to. It's funny because when Miss Saigon was on Broadway, I didn't really like it. I actually only second acted it one night. That back when you could second act a show, and then I then I did the tour, and I like fell in love with it. Rent was another one where I had no idea what the hell was going on in Rent. Didn't really like it until I actually sat on stage next to the drummer to watch it on stage, and then I actually did the show. I'm trying to think, Roxy, go. What's your favorite?
I mean. 42nd Street was the show that got me, you know, it was the revival at the time, you know, of course, but that was the first Broadway show I'd ever seen. And that's what got me really thinking about singing and acting, not just dancing. And I've done the show, I think, 4 or 5 times in various locations. And it's great for the ensemble. You could play any role. It's amazing. And I'm a tapper. So,
And
nice.
For me, Evita was always one of my favorite shows, but I never got to New York to see the original.
Right.
And same thing with Into the Woods. Love that show. Never saw the original here in New York.
Right.
So, you know, I have favorite shows, but not ones that I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the musicals, too. I went to see, but I did, what was it, 2 years ago or 3? Went to see Macbeth. And the reason why I wanted to go, because Daniel Craig was starring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I kind of have like a little like man crush on
talent
him.
Crush.
Daniel Craig, I think the guy's phenomenal. He's so good at James Bond. But he's been in other movies that are good, like Munich. He's excellent.
Yep.
So he's in some good movies. But, you know, the dialogue in Macbeth, I mean, I don't know how these guys remember all those lines.
Oh, it's crazy.
But this might be 2 times during the show where the word bond is in his dialogue.
Uh-huh.
And both times you did hear like a little chuckle from somebody in the audience.
Right.
You know,
bond.
Bond.
I love that.
Really cool.
That's really great. Cool. I love that you just flipped this on us.
Yeah.
I love this.
It's great.
Sorry.
No, that's totally cool. We appreciate it. We just didn't want to take too much of your time. We love it.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Well, Frank, thanks again for coming on to Meet the Littles. We can't thank you enough. This has been fantastic.
Thanks. I appreciate you guys, and I'll see you on and off Broadway soon.
Oh, we can't wait. All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
Hi, Littles. This is Bonnie Brooklyn from the PTI Show. You're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on WTFC, your podcast network.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast and Roxy.
Whew, that was great.
Roxy's blushing over. Thank you, Phil and Frank Isola, for coming on to Meet the Littles and saving our asses there at the last second.
Oh, my gosh. That was a close one.
Seriously. We want to send a special, very special shout out to Frank Isola for being such a good sport with that.
Yeah.
We told him what we wanted to do. We had this idea, and he totally was totally on board, went with it. He's like, you know, I embrace the fill-in Frank thing anyway, so I'd love to fill in on your podcast when Greg Garcia just
bails
on you. No, and full disclosure, obviously, Lewis has not talked to any of his people yet.
Oh, no.
That was all a setup.
That was a ruse.
Greg still just wants nothing to do with us.
Apparently.
He wants nothing to do with us, apparently, including Lewis and his people.
Yeah.
And so we're just still hopeful. We hope that us playing around like this will encourage him because he sees how funny we are and how smart and funny.
Right? We're freaking hilarious.
He'll want to come on our podcast. But no, in all seriousness. Frank was such a great
guy. That was so
How much
cool.
do we love him?
That was so cool.
He's such a great guy. And of course, such a great interview.
Absolutely.
And a quick shout out to Bonnie Burko for
getting it done,
as she always does. Mm-hmm. You know, she's the one that put us in touch originally.
Yeah, episode 150.
Then, and then we played email tag and phone tag and all that stuff.
Yeah, but we made it happen.
We made it happen through the March Madness and, you know, because he does the WNBA draft and all that stuff. And
right.
How cool that we didn't even get to touch upon that with the Caitlin Clark stuff.
I know.
Maybe five mediocre minutes down the road.
Uh-huh.
And another quick shout out. Thank you, Dan Byrne. Episode 30, I think.
Yes.
And that's for he calls it a song. He doesn't really call them jingles.
No, that's a song.
But the 100 years ago on PTI.
It's one of my faves.
I had to throw that in there. Mm-hmm. We've done it before, but because Frank Isola here, we had to do it. So
Right.
Anyway, thank you, Frank.
if Greg, you do hear this, thank you for being such a good sport, because I'm sure our phones are going to ring. He's got lawyers on the phone.
Yeah.
So remember, Mr. Mossman, when we said we might need a lawyer.
Yeah.
let's see how Greg Garcia's lawyers respond.
Right.
To what just happened. So anyway, Roxy, we don't have that much time, but we've got some email we have to get to. Why don't you start us off?
All right. From Michelle Pendleton, episode 45. I'm so bummed. I was going to send you a note yesterday because it was the third anniversary of my episode.
Wow.
And I just missed it. It's been so fun getting to know you through the pod and social media. Thank goodness my boring episode didn't kill things off. For anyone who is on the fence about getting a Chuck and Roxy number, if I can do an episode, anyone can. Oh. Michelle Pendleton, 45.
45.
Yeah.
Wow. Top 50.
I know.
Actually top 40.
Yeah.
Technically. Wow. Third anniversary.
Yeah.
That just hit.
Amazing.
That just hit a little bit on me here.
We're still here.
All right. Then we have, I love this, three separate emails.
Uh-oh.
They all came in together, though.
Uh-oh.
It was really odd. Roxy, just listening to the bowling review on episode 390, and you might need to get away from Chuck for a little bit. The amount of complaining you did, you sound older than me, and that is saying something. Roop Sharma, episode 48. Within seconds, the next email comes in. Chuck, a 7-year-old stole a lollipop and you cry a river? But you want to steal other people's reward points. Stop holding little kids to standards you wouldn't hold yourself to. Roop Sharma.
Touché.
Episode 48. Seconds later.
Oh, no.
Roxy.
Uh-oh.
I will apologize to you because my criticism of you was a little harsh. Chuck, I do not apologize to you. Roop Sharma, episode 48.
Thanks, Roop.
Always good to hear from Roop.
Yeah,
and
always.
And his complaining. Always. Yeah, it's always great.
I know. All right, Nick Milkey, episode 161. Hey, dude, my annual Star Wars charity event raising money for Make-A-Wish is coming up on Star Wars Day, May the 4th. Would love if you and Roxy could help me get it in front of the little somehow between now and then. I sent a mailbag note about it, citing recent ESPN guests of ours, Clinton Yates, Ryan McGee, and Arda Ocal, in hopes that TK takes the bait. Let me know what I could maybe do with or for you guys. Nick Milkey, episode 161.
Okay, now we added this one in. I wasn't going to put that in,
yeah.
But because he's going to hate himself now.
Uh-oh.
Because, well, he didn't know what this episode was. He didn't know we had Frank Isola on the podcast. So I said to him, I was like, did you do something? He said he was going to do it last night, and I texted him this morning, and he's like, no, I didn't do it yet.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, well, we'll get it on before May 4th.
Yeah, right.
But I wanted to at least do that for them. So that's going to be upcoming. He's going to do a voice memo publicizing because he's raising money for a really good cause.
Yeah.
So we always like to do that.
Make
you know, little's helping
great.
Littles.
Mm-hmm.
And but I thought I'd read the email since he's going to feel like a dope now that he didn't do it earlier. So, all right, Mike Wolf, episode TBD. Hello again. I had a question about the Burn the Jukebox private birthday party situation. Did you happen to notice if the club brought out an unquester dessert to the person whose birthday it was? And if so, did they add it to the bill? Now, look, I was so pissed at that guy. I didn't care. I hope they did. I hope they added 5 desserts to his bill.
Yeah, we don't know because we left.
Yeah, we left. Yeah, we couldn't stay because we had to go meet Steve Tashir and his family.
Right, right.
Also, since I can tell you're loving the Jewish calendar talk, did you know that Jewish holidays that are 8 days here in the U.S. are only celebrated for 7 days in Israel? Oh, come on, people. What's up with what's going on here? And finally, glad to hear Greg Garcia might finally be coming on the show. Maybe he'll talk about how he was able to do it.
Mm.
I've been trying for years and never seem to be able to do it. Yes, Mike Wolf, episode TBD.
Yes.
And, you know, we almost had him today, but didn't work out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
You snooze, you lose, right, Roxy?
Exactly. All right. Bobby Gottfried, episode 12. Much like Tony L was accidentally at the game where Cal ended his streak since no one knew, I was accidentally at 2,632, the last game of the streak. No merch, since none of us knew he wouldn't play the next day. I was at 2,131 on purpose, though. Interesting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Those are good. 12. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Then finally, dear Choxy, at this point, you should just put out an ad for anyone named Greg Garcia. Play them one Tony Kornheiser podcast, call them a little, then have them on the LL pod and just call it a day. I have a great story about that in a second. You can probably use the Buy Nothing group, or is there a Get Nothing group? Although I guess you can give them a fun and dumb prize for joining the cult we're all a part of.
A sticker.
That way, you get a quote-unquote Greg Garcia on the pod. And really, he might be more interesting than the old board op from a local sports radio show. His words, not mine, Greg. Yeah. His words,
yeah.
Not mine.
Yeah.
If the real Greg Garcia wants to come on to the table, so be it. We may need to resort to calling him Greg F. Garcia going forward. I had something interesting occur at work. The other day, I walked into the men's room and found someone using the facility with the stall door open.
What?
This individual was in the seated position, shall we say. I was stunned. When I informed a colleague, I was told sternly that some cultures are different and it's normal to use the commode with the door open.
Oh.
I'm not sure how to feel about this whole thing, so I would bring it to you people. Okay. I'll just read the whole thing first.
Okay.
Finally, I pulled 10 people at work to see if any of them put peanut butter on their waffles. One of them said, yeah, while listening to the Talking Heads. That's my favorite.
Nice.
I think my polling of work people has officially jumped the shark. Episode 178, ABTAHS. We will not do better the next time unless Roxy finally gets herself some chips that don't taste like cat food. Now,
I'm sorry,
should
Eric.
We work our way backwards on that?
They did. I'm so sorry.
I got a text or a note. It wasn't really an email. But they want to know, how the hell do you know what cat food tastes like? What is Chuck feeding you?
Okay.
So thank you for that. I'm like, at least blame the parents growing up. I don't know. It's not me. I don't feed her cat food.
No, listen, friends.
Okay.
You know how you can smell something and instantly your taste buds know what it would taste like?
Okay.
That's what it is.
Okay, so you meant to say it smells like cat food.
I have smelled cat food, and the way these chips tasted are what I imagine cat food tastes like based on the smell.
Okay, all right. I just want to clear that up. She doesn't eat cat food.
I'm sorry, Eric.
She doesn't eat
cat
food.
It was a very nice gesture.
It was a great gesture, and Chuck is enjoying them for
the most
part.
Chuck is enjoying them.
There's occasionally one where I'm
like, he'll give me one, and the faces I make are...
That's worth the postage right there.
It's not for me.
Maybe we should videotape that and put that on Twitter so that they can see at least we're getting some fulfillment out of this great box of that we got sent to us.
Well, you're enjoying them.
Okay, let's back up here, shall we?
Okay.
Okay, yeah, if about the stall door... You should go to Japan. That's all I'm going to say. There's like a hole in the floor.
Yeah, right.
And you literally just straddle it and go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I
guess...
Numbers 1, 2, 3, whatever you want to call it.
If it's not something you're used to, it's shocking.
I guess, yeah.
But as long as it's not, you know, someone who's maybe not...
Well, it's like, I mean,
we
don't want to go too adult on this, but it's like the topless culture. You know, there's a lot of countries where women walking around, that's just normal.
Right.
And so no one, there's no gawking up because it's just normal.
It's normal.
Where if it's American tourists, they're like, whoa.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's like, whoa, you know, because we don't see that that often.
Yeah. So I understand.
Even though it is now legal here in New York City.
I understand the shock factor.
Yeah.
I don't know how comfortable I would be if I saw that. I would excuse myself as quickly as possible and sort of wait for them to be done just out of respect, I guess, but maybe not because if that's their culture, then, But I don't know.
Okay. Now, this is kind of a cute side funny story about getting someone named Greg Garcia. No, this is a true story. This is a true story. I forget the name of the New York Times. I think it was the New York Times reviewer. It's not the current one. This is way back like in 30s, 40s.
Okay.
And the New York Times reviewer was just, it's still that way. He's just known for giving horrible reviews.
Yeah.
Ripping
for Broadway shows.
For Broadway shows. Ripping them apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially back then, that was your only form of media.
Right.
Essentially.
Right.
So you went, you listened to, I mean, a lot of people today are like, who the hell are these people?
Yeah.
It's one person's opinion.
Yeah, right.
Go for yourself and you judge, you know, that kind of thing. But seriously, it would rip them apart. And if you got a bad review, it could affect the run of the show. And it still kind of does today.
Sure.
It's not as bad because there's many reviewers, different papers. And now it's like, my gosh, social media people do it and TikTok and all
right.
that. Anyway, this guy, literally what he did, he went to the phone book, looked up the guy's name. I wish I could remember. Let's call him Greg Garcia. Looked up Greg Garcia, called him and said, hey, congratulations. You won a contest. I have 2 free tickets for you to come see my show. Let's call it Les Mis.
Okay.
So and the guy was like, are you kidding me? He's like, yeah. He goes, but you have to tell me what you thought of it after the show. So he did. And so the guy comes to see the show. He meets the guy after and says, well, how'd you think? He goes, oh, I loved it. The next day, over the ad in the New York Times, it said, Greg Garcia says,
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But so it just, cause it didn't say from the New York Times.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So in other words, he got some other random guy to review the show.
Yeah.
But of course, everyone, when they see the name, they thought it was the guy from the New York Times.
Ah.
And that's how he got people to come see his show on a positive review,
gotcha.
Even though the guy from the New York Times destroyed it.
Right.
But his advertisement said the guy's name loved it. And so it's technically, but he had to come clean.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's clever. It's a clever idea. So maybe we will do that.
Maybe.
So Littles, anyone know a Greg Garcia besides you know who?
Yeah.
You know, maybe he'll come on first and then, you know, he'll
maybe.
Be jealous and then,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, once again, we definitely have to do it again. Thank
yes.
you, Frank Isola, for being such
yes.
a good sport and letting us do this
mm-hmm.
The way we wanted to do it. And
yeah.
thank you, Greg Garcia, for not being upset with us, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So, yeah, anyway. We love you, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get to meet you someday.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you, Frank Isola. That was such a great time. Roxy, tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
Go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there.
And don't forget, if you do listen to us on Apple and iTunes, to give us a nice rate and review over there. It does help. We're looking forward to the next couple episodes.
Yeah.
TV's winding down, Roxy.
It is.
Survivor's coming to a close.
Mm-hmm.
Deal or No Deal Island is coming to a close.
Yeah.
It's heating
up. That one's still pissing me off a little bit.
Well, but Boston Rob's still in it, so I'm
Thankfully.
Excited.
Thankfully.
Yeah, because he's why you're watching. Really.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we're Survivor
100%.
Fans. 100%. So, yeah.
He's
yeah.
the only reason why I'm
Episode
watching.
200. Are you going to jump on that?
Yeah.
Mr. Rick Devins? That would be fun. So anyway. All right. If you need a book.
Go to aaronsbooks.com.
And the most important part is during checkout in the comments section.
Don't forget to.
Use the code.
Bye.
Peanut butter? Heck no.
Sing a song of a seamstress for your debut pants,
or you will split them.
Shake it, shake it, shake it, infant annoyance for the sake of some peace
and quiet. Now hear the silence.
Take it, take it, traveling salesman to the edge of that cliff.
Wait for the arrival of the car to get the fuck from the tank.
Emancipation of that hardest stash of disposable income. It's a disease, a curse, a habit I cannot refrain from. Control is too far gone, not drowning in collectible clutter. You introduced me to one expense.
hobby after another.
Hear a chorus of tyrants on the edge of their thrones.
Go like your manners!
Slam a, slam a, slam a door in the chapel. The ministers, they say, great thoughts.
They're not about you!
Think, a, think, a, think about a pneumonia to avoid that bruise. On the crowded jazz rehearsal.
Who's parading? Who's spectating? Someone bring this back to an end.
Pathetic waste of sailboat sits there rotting in the harbor. The weekly trips to your exceptional Parisian barber. It can't be checkers, crosswords, sewing, birding, mustard. Another month of this and I'll be forced to ramen noodle. Collecting late fees on my credit card for recreation. Cut off from logic, it's a self-inflicted separation. Another week of this and I'm not likely to recover. You introduce me to one expensive hobby after another. One expensive hobby after another. One expensive hobby after another. One expensive hobby after another.
Littles Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
Humma, humma, humma.
Oh, yeah.